Give all honor, all glory, all praise, all adoration. We thank you for another time of impartation. We pray that tonight may we receive just that, an impartation that will deepen our relationship with you, that will help us to understand your purposes for our lives, an impartation that will make us fruitful and productive in our knowledge of Christ Jesus. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for everyone watching tonight's service. Thank you even for those who will stumble upon this clip sometime later. May everyone be blessed and receive a touch from you. We thank you, Father. We exalt you in Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say, Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And thank you very much for being here for our time of impartation. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, please. From the New Living Translation says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Hallelujah. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. You therefore, my son, and this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, his son in the ministry, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. By the way, I didn't see the Apostle Paul calling everybody his son or daughter. You don't see a lot of that. All right? So this is to say something to those of us who refer to everybody as our sons and our daughters. You know, I don't know why we're always in a hurry to be fathers and mothers. And Jesus said we should not even call anybody father. Anyway. So he writes to him and says, the next verse, verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Praise the name of Jesus. All right. I want to continue sharing with you on the subject, the mentorship advantage. And this is Biblical Truths Part 2. I did the first part last week, and I'm continuing. The mentorship advantage, Biblical Truths Part 2. An advantage is a benefit that helps someone to do better or succeed more easily. Whenever you have anything like that, we say that you have an advantage. So if you have a certain level of education, you have an advantage. If you come from a certain kind of family, you have an advantage. If you live in a certain part of the world, you have an advantage. I saw a funny clip by this Ghanaian musician, Kofi Kinata. I suspect that he traveled at the time he did this clip on TikTok. And he was explaining that really how well you do in life and your social status and position sometimes depends on where you find yourself. And the example he used was a dog. He was explaining that these dogs that we don't respect here, you see them around, these mongrels, as I like to refer to them. Over here, nobody minds them. But he was explaining that out there, you know, people treat them specially. They sleep in the same bed with them. Sometimes they sew clothes for them to wear and all of those things. So he was just explaining that how you look in life or what you become in life depends on where you find yourself. And there's a lot of truth in that. Amen. Yeah, so that also gives you or places you at an advantage where you find yourself, where you were born, where you grew up. All right? Look, be grateful to God that you were not born in some remote village, be in some corner of the nation. So as you are doing too known today, thinking that you are whatever, it's just because you had an advantage in life. That's all there is to it. There's nothing special about you and I. It's just that we had certain advantages. That's why we are who we are, and that's why we are where we are in life. And that's why we should always be humble and never esteem ourselves more highly than we ought to. Hallelujah. So that's what an advantage is. And I explained to you that mentorship is a God-ordained relationship in which a more experienced, mature, and trustworthy person intentionally guides, teaches, encourages, and develops another person so that they become all God intends them to be. I'm sure you have that in your notes. And then another definition I gave you for mentorship is that it is the intentional investment of one's life into another to help that person discover, develop, and fulfill God's purpose for their lives. In this life, there are mentors and there are mentees. The one being mentored is a mentee. And I want to say that every single one of us should aim to be both a mentor and a mentee. There should be somebody you are helping to develop, somebody you are influencing, somebody you are guiding in this life. Don't run out your life's course without influencing certain people. And this takes place at different levels. Family. All right? If you have a family, you should influence your children, your family members. If anybody comes to live with you in your house, you should have a positive influence on the person's life. Look, if you have somebody come live with you as a maid servant, you must trust God to use you to make that person's life better. Because you could have been that maid servant. If circumstances were different, she would have been the madam and you would have been the maid servant. But the lines fell for you in pleasant places. That is why you occupy the position that you occupy. And so anybody that comes your way, one of the questions you must ask yourself, and this goes for all of us, one of the questions we must ask ourselves is, what can I do to make somebody's life better? That is what mentorship is all about. And not just that, but I said that every one of us must believe God and must humble ourselves to become mentees, where we can be mentored, we can be guided, we can be informed by Endemefro and Kasamon. Na minyim de ezem kaw na na mu hu kaw kra na ezem ebe sort me out eh aye nyigesem. Every one of us, irrespective of our age or our status, there's somebody who can influence us. If nobody can influence us or guide us or speak into our lives, then what it means is that we are too big. Am I speaking to somebody today? And mentorship is about a transfer of different things. When you are mentoring somebody, you are transferring wisdom, knowledge, character, values, and skills. And I'm saying to you that all of us must believe God to transfer and transmit certain qualities and certain virtues into other people and the people who come into our lives. Amen. If you are a teacher, it is not just about teaching them quadratic equations and parabolic equations and what have you. You must look at what else you can do to add a certain value to their lives. Hallelujah. My mother was a teacher. And she was a very good one, for that matter, by the grace of God. One of the things she told me many years ago was that she made it her personal goal that no student will pass through her hands who will end up a failure. And if you're a teacher, you will notice that there are different types of students in your class. There are those who are very sharp, and there are those who are very slow. There are those who are very quick. There are those who are the slow learners. Most teachers do not have time for the slow learners. So they teach at a pace that is okay for the sharp brains. But for the ones who are slow, often they are left behind. My mother explained to me that she used to make time for these slow learners and work on them and encourage them and bring them up to a certain level so that they can flow with the rest of the class. That's what mentorship does. Hallelujah. So you have a shop. You've employed people to work for you. Don't just be interested in the services they render, but look at what you can do to make their lives better. Some of the people who come to work for you, they don't know how to talk. Some of the people who come to work for you, when they pass, then the flies and the mosquitoes are dying, gasping for breath. You have to do something about it. There are some people, when you watch the way they dress, it's like they are not very far from being mad men and mad women. Something must be done to help them. You don't just tell yourself that, Oba Besunye Ejuma, so that's all I'm interested in. No. So I've given these examples to explain to you that there is somebody whose life you can impart. A little child, a little boy. So let's learn to take interest in the people around us, because you may never know who God has brought your way for you to influence in a very positive way. Hallelujah. Look, one day when we stand before God, we are going to get into trouble. Do you know why? Because he's going to show us people that he deliberately and intentionally brought our way, but we ignored them. We didn't do anything to help them. We didn't do anything to make a difference to their lives. And God will express his displeasure to us because we did not make good of these opportunities that he brought our way. So we've been looking at biblical truths about the mentorship advantage. I've shared a number of them. Number one, mentorship is God's ordained pattern for developing people and preparing them for their God-given purpose. So that's the pattern that you see clearly in the Word of God. There are so many examples. The one that we chose to focus on was the relationship that existed between Moses and Joshua. That Moses mentored Joshua. So by the time Moses exited, Joshua was ready to take up leadership. And there was a successful transmission of leadership from Moses to Joshua. Amen. And so you see other examples in the scripture that bring out this biblical truth that mentorship is God's ordained pattern for developing people and preparing them for their God-given purpose. And as we go on, we see more examples of that. The second biblical truth, God did not create us to grow alone. He designed us to grow through godly relationships and mentorship. Amen. You know, everything that God created, he took a look at it and said it was good. But there was only one thing that God looked at and said it was not good. What was that? What was that? Man was alone. Initially, it was just Adam. There was no Eve. And God said, it is not good. So that is when he created Eve. And then they became a team. And he charged them with the responsibility of being fruitful and productive and replenishing the earth and having dominion. So God never intended that we should operate alone. And there are godly relationships that he brings our way. And there are people he brings into our lives who are supposed to help us to maximize our potential. And the Bible says that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Hallelujah. I gave you a quote last week that if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go with somebody or go with a team. Amen. It's a wise saying. All right. If you want to go fast, then go alone. But you may not go very far. You may go fast, but you may not go very far in life. But sometimes what you need is somebody to go with you or a team to go with. It may slow you down, but that is what may actually get you very far in life. Listen, behind every great leader, usually, or any successful person, usually, there is always somebody or some people who influenced them, believed in them, invested in them, inspired them, corrected them, and helped them. Behind virtually every successful person, there's always somebody like that, or there are some people like that. Hallelujah. If I look into my life, I've had different people play different roles at different times and different junctions of my life. And I'm grateful to all of them for whatever impact that they had on my life. I mean, if you take somebody like Bill Gates, you know, who founded Microsoft and all of that, the person who influenced him greatly was this very rich, you know, businessman called Warren Buffett. He's the number 10 richest man in the world, and his wealth is in billions. The richest man in the world is Elon Musk. Number 5 is Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Meta or Facebook. And then go. Number 10 is Warren Buffett. So Bill Gates is no longer in the first 10. But the person who really influenced him, he would always say, is Warren Buffett. He taught him a lot of things. And if you take Mark Zuckerberg, he talks about Steve Jobs, who founded Apple, that he's somebody who inspired him greatly. And look at people who have succeeded, Barack Obama, Oprah Winfrey. If you come to sports, tennis, Serena Williams, it was her father. Tiger Woods, it was his father. So sometimes your greatest influence will come from a family member. It can be your parent. It can be your uncle. It can be your brother. It can be your sister. But behind many great people are mentors, or a mentor at least. If you take Messi, who didn't sit up in the final match of the World Cup, and the person who influenced him greatly was Pep Guardiola, his coach. Cristiano Ronaldo, the person who influenced him greater was Alex Ferguson. So that's a pattern that you will see. And there are people that God intentionally connects you to. And that's why every one of us must recognize who those people are and relate well with them and treat them properly. Hallelujah. I've come to see that sometimes we don't recognize a blessing when it is there. We only tend to appreciate it when it is gone and when it is lost. There are some people, it is only after their parents are dead, that's when they recognize that my father was a good man. And all the times that I was resisting him, all that he was trying to do for me was to guide me, influence me, and direct me so that I'll end up well. But I felt he was too hard. I felt that he was too something. But now that I am old and he is dead and gone, I can realize that God gave me a good father, but I never appreciated him. May that never be the story of our lives. So look at your life, different things about your life, and learn to recognize and appreciate and honor the people that God has brought your way to help you. So maybe in your profession, your career, it may be your boss, the boss that you work with. He may be the one God wants to use to guide and influence you and lift you from where you are to a higher level. If you are in school, it may be one of your teachers. If you are in church, it may be your departmental head. It may be your pastor. I'm trying to help all these people to do well with their music thing, and they resist me a lot of the times. They don't do what I ask them to do. Pastor James, can you shift a little? Because somebody is trying to hide under the cover of your head. Look at my face closely. Because sometimes you are there with people, they don't see anything bare about you. Do you see? And all these people, I want them to do well. I want them to develop their ministry. The sisters, and brother, uncle, and all these different groups. If you take these sisters, you know, they haven't sung for a long while. They are looking at me with reproachful eyes. That why have I brought their matter here? I have brought it and I'll continue to bring it. And it's paining me that the last member of the team is not here. They keep getting messages that when are you going to sing again? We were so blessed. You guys are great and everything. And I'm just trying to get them to do very well. The other day I met with the daughter of one of our church members. And I was explaining to her that I have taken an interest in you because you sing well. You have a great gift. And I want that gift to be developed. But I explained to her that you have an attitude. And that attitude can stop me from helping you the way I can help you. And then I told her something very important. I told her that you may be surprised that it is this singing music thing that will open a major door for you and take you to a certain level. You may never know. There are some people, their blessing and their prosperity is not connected to the profession that they pursued when they were in school or the career that they followed. It can be something else. Something else. I mean, I have a friend. She used to work with this telecom companies, and she was top management. But she realized that her passion was not in those things. Her passion was in fashion designing. Even though she has challenges now, I believe that that is what God is going to use to catapult her to another level. I've seen things like that. People who went to, you know, was working at the bank and all of these things. Today they are selling Shito and Zomi. And it is working for them. So I explained to her that this singing thing that I'm asking you to sing, you won't open your mouth and all of those other things. Take it seriously because you may never know what door it will open for you. So me, I've said what I have to say, but I'm just watching to see what's going to happen at the end of the day. Am I speaking to somebody today? All right. Then the third biblical truth that I shared with you, that every generation has a God-given responsibility to mentor, equip, and prepare the next generation to fulfill his purposes. That's another biblical truth that has to do with mentorship. That every generation, if you take our generation, we have a God-given responsibility. And that's what I touched on last Sunday when I was talking, you know, about influencing the next generation positively. Because every generation has a responsibility to pass something on to the next generation that will make them do well or do even better than the generation before them. And if the right things are not passed on, bad things will happen. We can influence the people positively or negatively, but our aim must be to have a positive influence on the people that God connects us to and the generation after us. Hallelujah. And then number four, the next biblical truth about mentorship I shared with you, that Jesus himself demonstrated mentorship by intentionally investing in his disciples to prepare them for his mission. Jesus himself demonstrated mentorship by intentionally investing in his disciples to prepare them for his mission. Amen. Look. Everything that Jesus did with his disciples was intentional. It was not an accident. It was not incidental at all. So before he appointed them, he went to pray all night. And it was when he was done and came down that he appointed the 12 of them. And there were many other people who could have been his disciples. But he chose these 12. And he asked them to follow him. They learned from him. He taught them a lot of things. He showed them what to do. He oversaw what they did. And then finally he commissioned them and gave them what we call the Great Commission. They were the first carriers of that Great Commission. But that commission was to all of us. But you see a clear pattern of mentorship there. He called them so that they will be with him. And then he will impart them and he will train them and he will work on them. Hallelujah. Then the fifth biblical truth about mentorship that I shared with you is that mentorship helps us see what we could not otherwise see. Mentorship helps us to see what we could not otherwise see. And there are many things you can see, because every one of us has blind spots. Sometimes there are things that you cannot even see about yourself. Yesterday I told somebody that she betray her home. So be training one, bro, for no can then. And she's what? I didn't hear Monique. the bro is, I can't find it. But or training home. Okay? That's what I told her. And she asked me why I told her that. And I explained. I explained to her. And she was surprised. Because sometimes somebody can see something about you that you can see about yourself. That's why they say that when you are digging a ditch, you may not know that or it is going completely off your intended direction. It is somebody behind you who tell that, hey, where exactly are you digging this ditch to? Then you lift up your head and then say, oh, I'm going here, but now I am here. And sometimes in life, you need somebody around you who can show you these things. And sometimes there are certain character traits, certain attitudes, certain behaviors that somebody else has to point out to you. Then sometimes you may be doing something, you know, and you have a good intention and everything, but you are sincerely wrong in what you are trying to do. So then we use the example of how Jethro came to Moses and saw him from morning till evening sitting at the door of his tent, and sorting out all kinds of issues. Somebody has broken the leg of my cow. Please sort it out for me. Somebody broke one of my corn, whatever, from the farm. Please sort it out. Somebody came to borrow my tapoli. He didn't bring it back. And all of these other things. I can imagine every morning till evening, you're sitting there sorting all these things. Jethro, his father-in-law, came and said, hey, my son-in-law, what are you doing? So what you are doing is not good. It won't help you. Neither will it help the people. So that's when he gave him advice that create groupings of the people, thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens. Appoint leaders to handle each group. Let them deal with the basic issues. If there's an issue that is beyond them, let them bring that issue to you. That way you'll be able to lead these people effectively. But till Jethro spoke to him, to Moses, even though Moses was a great leader, he didn't know that what he was doing was worrisome. And later on, God confirmed it to him when the 70 elders were appointed and so on and so forth. So I'm explaining to you that sometimes that is the role of a mentor in your life. He makes you see what otherwise you could not see for yourself. Amen. Amen. And Jesus Christ, that's what he did with the disciples. He revealed things to them that they didn't know. Their motives were wrong. Their hearts were wrong. Remember when Jesus told them that he was going to be arrested and tortured and crucified and all of these other things. A few moments after saying that to them, he was traveling with them and they were arguing about who would be the greatest in his kingdom. Their hearts were not right. So he had to call them and say, what are you guys doing? You don't understand what is happening. That the ministry is not about those things. It's not about position. It's not about having dominance over others. It's not about dominating others. It's not about manipulating and controlling others. That is not kingdom leadership. So he had to let them see that there was everything wrong with the way they were thinking and the way their hearts were. Amen. One day Peter came to Jesus and when Jesus told him that he was going to be killed and everything, Peter took him aside and said, no, you don't talk like that. Yes, you don't talk like that. You are the Messiah. Well, you see, when you talk like that, you are demoralizing the troops. No, don't come and talk in that way. And then Jesus said something that must have shocked him greatly. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm sure Peter was surprised. Said, oh, small advice that I'm giving to you. You are calling me devil. But you see, at that time, when he was saying what he was saying, he didn't know that it was the devil who was speaking through him. I'm saying that sometimes your mentor can see things about you that you cannot see about yourself. And that's why it takes a lot of humility to be mentored. Praise the name of Jesus. All right. We did five, eh? Okay, number six. The next biblical truth. Through mentorship, we gain the wisdom needed to thrive and succeed. Through mentorship, we gain the wisdom needed to thrive and succeed. Hallelujah. One of the things that you definitely need if you're going to thrive and succeed in this life is wisdom. And in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, from the New Living Translation, this is what it says. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Did you see that? All right, read it with me. Let's read it together. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Ready, go. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Good judgment is connected to wisdom. Amen. And the Bible is saying here that wisdom is the principal thing. And mentorship is a medium by which you can get the wisdom you need to thrive and to succeed. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. It says, now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. He was full of Ibaze, the spirit of wisdom. Why? For Moses had laid his hands on him. And what was Moses to Joshua? He was a mentor. And as a result of the relationship that Moses had with Joshua, there was an impartation of wisdom. And the Bible says that the spirit of wisdom was upon Joshua. Hallelujah. So through mentorship, you can gain the wisdom that you need to thrive and succeed. Let me tell you, my friend, wherever you want to get to in life, somebody has gotten there. Because there's nothing new under the sun. Whatever is your area of interest, there are others who are there. So that is the reason why if you have a particular area that you are interested in, one of the wisest things you can do is to find yourself a mentor in that area. Because that person can teach you things that will take you faster than you trying to do things by yourself. Amen. Yeah. So through mentorship, we gain the wisdom needed to thrive and succeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's a way you should position yourself that the person who is mentoring me, my boss, my teacher, my father, my pastor, know something I don't know. Amen. Has been where I've never been before. Has fought battles that I've never imagined. Has made a lot of mistakes in life to have taught him a lesson. And he knows something that he can teach me that will make me avoid the mistakes that he made. That's what it is. So that explains a very important thing about mentorship. Gives you wisdom. Ivy, your madam knows things that you don't know at all. Do you know that? Yes. That's why you must conduct yourself in a certain way. And I'm sure that ever since you started working with her and relating, you know, with Apostle AA and all of it, there are a lot of things that you've learned. Have you learned a lot of things? Are you sure? Have you learned things that your parents didn't teach you? A lot of things. Oh, you are. That's the thing. Because there are things they know. And sometimes the things you know, the things you've been through, the experiences that you've had, they have a way of making you wiser. I was telling you about this gentleman who assaulted his wife and was arrested and put behind bars. I told you that finally, when he was released, and I sat there and he came to me. No, I do be away where ice water go no do. Very super. Because naturally he talks a lot. In fact, I think that is one of the reasons why the investigator was bored. And said that this guy, we have to teach him a lesson. Actually, our institutions, sometimes they do these things to teach you things. But I can tell you that when I saw him, when he came out of the cells, he had become very cool. He had become very cool. So sometimes your experiences in life, they teach you those things. Amen. Yeah. And then they make you wiser. And he told me, when I sat with them yesterday, I spent hours counseling him and his wife. And I told him that I have taken my face to go and collect certain things. So he shouldn't embarrass me. And I don't have any loose money that I'm going to use to pay them if he breaks his bail. He said, Pastor, I said, Pastor, I will not disappoint you. I said, don't beat her again. Eh? Said, said, I will never beat her again. They were saying that what he went to see there, he was narrating his experience. You see, God was merciful to him because behind the cells, in the same cell with him, was somebody he knew that he had been good to before. And the person was like the prefect in the cell. So they gave him some nice place to be able to rest. So even in his situation, God was merciful to him. Hallelujah. But I think that he's become wiser. And I don't expect him to beat his wife again. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes the wives, their mouths. But no matter how the mouth is, please, no beatings. Amen. Number 7, biblical truth about mentorship. Mentorship provides the guidance we need for life's journey. Mentorship, this is one of the biblical truths about mentorship. It provides the guidance we need for life's journey. Hallelujah. So let me find out from you. You want to go somewhere you've never been to before. And you have two options. To use Google Map. Or you have somebody with you who knows exactly where you are going. Which of the two would you prefer? Somebody with you. Why? Yes. I tell you. Look. I saw somebody who was following Google Map. Is there a tree? Is there a tree version? But the person ended up in the middle of the sea. So I pass left, pass right, pass left, something like that. Hansen! I heard that story. He was going on supply, and somebody sent a location. By the time he realized, he was almost in the sea. So you see, some of these things, when we are saying, it's like joke, but we have somebody, a living example right under our nose. Yeah. So thank God for the woman who speaks and everything. But I have been led astray many times. There are also many times that they have led me to where I'm supposed to go. But if you live in a country like Ghana, where there was a road, but then somebody has come to build on the road. So until Google,
She knows that there's a road. You see? So when you have a country where people build indiscriminately, just putting things all kinds of places, you can be led astray. So if you have that option, you said you prefer what? That somebody who knows the place, has been there many times and has the direction, will actually be with you and take you to that place. Hallelujah. So mentorship does that for us. It provides the guidance we need for life's journey. So again, this is what we saw with Jethro and Moses. Jethro guided Moses. Exodus 18, 19. Exodus 18, 19. So Jethro said to Moses, "Now listen to me and let me give you a word of advice, and may God be with you." In other words, I'm going to guide you. I'm going to direct you. So that's what Jethro did with Moses. Naomi guided Ruth. You know the story of Naomi, who had these two daughters-in-law. Their husbands died. That means her two sons died. And she was very sad and wanted to return back to her home country. She blessed her daughters and asked them to also go back to wherever they came from. Oprah went, but Ruth decided to stay. And, you know, she stuck with Naomi through and through. And at a point, Naomi guided her on what to do. And that's what changed her life and her destiny forever. Ruth chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Naomi guided Ruth. Ruth chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. One day, Naomi said to Ruth, "My daughter, it is time that I found a permanent home for you so that you will be provided for. Boaz is a close relative of ours and has been very kind by letting you gather grain with his young women. Tonight, you'll be winnowing barley at the threshing floor. Now, do as I tell you. Go and bath and put on perfume and dress in your nicest clothes. Then go to the threshing floor. But don't let Boaz see you until he has finished eating and drinking." There are certain meetings you shouldn't have until the person has finished eating and drinking. Usually, when you've eaten well and drank well, you are in a very good mood. And you feel like Father Christmas. You like to bless people. Yeah. "Be sure to notice where he lies down. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down there. He will tell you what to do." Verse 5. And this was Ruth's response. "I will do everything you say," Ruth replied. So she went down to the threshing floor that night and followed the instructions of her mother-in-law. She was guiding her on what to do. And if you follow the story, you realize that the plan worked beautifully. And she ended up marrying Boaz. And Boaz gave birth to Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. So now, if you trace the lineage and the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you'll find that Ruth did it. How did she add herself to that elite group? By listening to her mentor and being guided by her. Hallelujah. Jesus guided the disciples, didn't he? He did. Remember when he washed their feet? Look at John chapter 13, verse 12 to 15. He was guiding them and teaching them a very important lesson about servant leadership. After washing their feet, he, that is Jesus, put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing?" Verse 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet." Verse 15, "I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." He guided them. And there are so many other places where he guided them on what to do. So mentorship has a way of guiding or providing the guidance that you need for life's journey. Paul guided Timothy. Is that not so? He did. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 to 16 is an example of, you know, a portion of scripture where he guided him. That is, Paul guided Timothy. He says, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young." He was guiding him. "Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity." What was he doing? Guiding him. 13. "Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. What was he doing? 14. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. What was he doing with him? I'm not hearing you. 15. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress. Verse 16. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. So this guidance, just guiding him. And no wonder that Timothy turned out the way he did. He was a very successful pastor. Some Bible scholars believe that he had a congregation of more than 30,000 church members. Okay? Very successful young pastor. But what gave him that advantage was that he had somebody to guide him and to mentor him. Hallelujah. Number 8. Mentorship exposes and corrects attitudes and actions that hinder our growth. Mentorship exposes and corrects attitudes and actions that hinder our growth. You may actually discover that your mentor is really the only one who can point out certain things to you and correct you and tell you that this is not right, this is wrong. Nobody else can tell you those things but that mentor, your father, your mother, your teacher, your boss, all right, your uncle. So they can help you to understand that certain things are not good and must be corrected. And they are doing it because they love you. And sometimes your mentor may be the one who can actually correct and discipline you. Look at Hebrews 12:11, what it says about discipline. Hebrews 12:11, it says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful. How many can bear witness to that? Have you been beaten in school before that the thing pained you well? Very painful. Look, I am worried about the younger generation. I'm worried about them. Because of what they've set up in the school system, where a certain kind of discipline is not being implemented. We can argue about it. But you see, I've come to realize after having been around for a little while that the Bible is true. Spare the rod and spoil the child. And it says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. It is the rod of correction that will drive it far away from him. The rod of correction. It must be used well and properly. I suppose the reason why there's such a reluctance to keep these corporal punishments and things out of the schools is because of the excesses that have occurred. But you don't throw the baby away with the bathwater. I mean, who does that? You go to the hospital, you had an experience with a doctor, it was a bad experience. So you tell yourself that, hospital, I'll never go to hospital again. I'll always go to the herbalist. Yeah, sometimes in life, bad experiences happen. But that shouldn't make you make a blanket, you know, declaration about certain things. And discipline can be very painful. Back to Hebrews 12:11. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. And then Proverbs 12:1. Look at it. It says, New Living Translation, please. That's where I was. To learn, you must do what? You must love discipline. That means that discipline and learning go together, hand in hand. That's a very important revelation. And then look at what the Bible says. It is stupid to hate correction. It is stupid to hate correction. And your mentor may be the instrument that God is using to correct you, to instruct you, to guide you, to discipline you. That is, if he has the power to discipline. And some mentors have that. Of course, there are abuses that have taken place. That's another story for another day. But understand that mentorship can become the channel that certain things to do with you that can lead to your fall and your destruction are exposed and corrected and straightened up. The Bible says that discipline brings a peaceful harvest of right living. Hallelujah. All right, number 9, let's finish up. Biblical truths about mentorship. The 9th one, through mentorship, we are encouraged to press on despite challenges. Through mentorship, we are encouraged to press on despite challenges. You know, we need a lot of encouragement in this life. Whatever it is you're doing, you need to be encouraged. You by all means get to a place where you need some encouragement. And if you have a mentor, somebody that God has placed strategically into your life, through that person, you will get the encouragement that you need to be able to press on and advance. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7 to 8. Deuteronomy 31, 7 to 8. Then Moses calls for Joshua. And as all Israel watched, he said to him, be strong and courageous. What was he doing? Moses was encouraging him. He said, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors you will give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. He was explaining to him that I failed. I couldn't take them across. But you will do it. He was encouraging him. Verse 8. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead with you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. What a great encouragement he gave to him. And Joshua needed it because he was afraid. He had seen what the people did to Moses that resulted in Moses not making it into the promised land. And he knew that the people that he was now supposed to lead into the promised land were a stiff-necked people. Rebellious. He knew. Naturally, he would be afraid. And another, so you know that later on, God also spoke to him and told him, be not afraid. Why would God tell him, don't be afraid, if he was not afraid? He was scared because he was used to swords and piercing people and killing people. He was not a civil leader. He was not that kind of leader. So he needed a lot of encouragement. And sometimes in life, you meet challenges and you need somebody to encourage you. And your mentor, the person or the people that God has placed in your life, will provide you and serve you that encouragement that you need. Sometimes it gets overwhelming. Sometimes you get so weighed down and burdened by all the different things that you are doing. And the different battles that you have to fight. Look, this morning I got a call from a pastor friend. He's a young pastor, you know. And somebody I took a personal interest in. So this guy, by the grace of God, had pressed hard and had built a church. Okay? Now this church is at Tema New Town, but quite close to the sea. And he had purchased the land. He had gone to get building permits, had built a church, had tiled the place, and was doing ministry there very successfully. Had invited great men of God to come and preach there. This June 29th, rains and flood. He was explaining to me that all these years that he has been, I think he's been there for 12, 14 years, he has never had any issue. But somebody came to build somewhere and then made a hole somewhere and all the flood waters. Look, the building came down, 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 down. Hey! He he sent me the pictures. Charlie, it's painful. He's telling me, I don't know what to do. So how do they have church service? They try and set up a canopy. Look, they had raised money to do the roofing. They were close to finishing the roofing. The whole thing. Down. Their instruments. Gone. Hey, life, eh? Life. Life. It's not an easy thing. Why did he call me? He needed encouragement. I had to encourage him. I had to strengthen him and encourage him. And I'm going to see what I can do to help raise some money for him. But it's not easy. Hey, look, sometimes you meet something. If God doesn't step in, you kill yourself. Telling you. You will kill yourself. He was lamenting. He said, where am I going to, how am I going to start all over again? How? What is the guarantee that if I put up another building here, the same thing will not happen? If I want to move to another place, Tema, where? Tema land. Where am I going to get land again? The issues are a lot. The only thing I could do was to encourage him and pray with him. So in life, you need encouragement. And thank God that there are people God brings your way to encourage you. And your mentor or the mentors, the people God has placed in your life, can encourage you in a season of great challenges. Hallelujah. Remember how Jesus encouraged Simon Peter and told him, Luke 22:31-32, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Look, Peter was afraid, I'm sure, after Jesus rose from the dead. And then he revealed himself to them. I'm sure he couldn't look into Jesus' face because he remembered how he betrayed him and how he denied him and swore that he had never met him all his life. He didn't know. Was Jesus going to cast him away? Was Jesus going to throw him away? But what did Jesus do? He organized dinner for him, bread and fish. And then told him, Simon Peter, do you love me more than this? Feed my lambs. Simon Peter, do you love me more than feed my sheep? Simon Peter, do you love me more than feed? So when Jesus asked the third time, Peter said, oh yeah, I mean, if you want to rebuke me. But this, do you love me? Do you love me? Oh yeah, I don't also do. And all Jesus did was to encourage him. He never brought up the issue. Jesus never brought up the issue. He never brought up the issue. At least, the Bible doesn't tell us that he did. What would you have done if you were in Jesus' place? You, Peter. You said you don't know me from anywhere. You have never met me before. From today, you are no longer the leader. Bartholomew, take over. And I can't work with you. I don't trust you. I don't trust somebody like you. Yeah. But Jesus encouraged him. So mentorship can do that for you. And the last one, through mentorship, we are prepared for greater responsibility and accountability. Through mentorship, we are prepared for greater responsibility and accountability. Now, when somebody is mentoring you, it's going to take you through different experiences. You're going to try your hands at little things. When you do well at it, before you move on to higher things. That is before greater responsibilities are entrusted to you. So in Luke 16 verse 10, it says, he who is faithful in what is least, New King James Version, is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. So in mentorship, sometimes you are allowed to do things. Try your hands at things. All right? You make your mistakes, but you will learn from them. And then as you keep doing well in little things, in little things, in little things, you'll have greater responsibilities. So somebody has employed you to work in a fashion designing shop. Initially, the only thing she would allow you to do is to seal buttons. That's all. At the point, your madam is the one who do the cutting. You have to pass certain things before now you are allowed to sue. It's not that when you get there, no, they put you behind the machine. No, you spoil somebody's cloth. It doesn't work out like that. You have to demonstrate faithfulness in little things and in little responsibilities. Then greater responsibilities will be entrusted to you. And then you move into accountability. And that's what Jesus did even with the disciples. He showed them how to do little things. So he sent them out into the villages in pairs. They went out. They went to learn how to do ministry. It was after taking them through all of that, that finally, when he rose from the dead, he gave them the great commission. And he commissioned them to carry out that awesome responsibility. So as you can see, ladies and gentlemen, there are so many biblical truths about mentorship. And I've shared these things with you. And I conclude by saying this to you. I'm saying that every single one of us here should see ourselves as mentors and mentees. In other words, God wants to use you to influence others and to make their lives better. Don't blow that chance. But not just that. God also has people or somebody through whom your life can be better, through whom things can work better for you in your home, in your marriage, in your business, in your ministry, in your health. So the important thing is to position yourself aright for either one of these two possibilities. Embrace them, that you'll be both a mentor and a mentee. God bless you. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all that we've learned. Help us to apply them to our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Wonderful.